How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to episode 27 of the Sick Podcast with your boy, That Leafs Fan. We do have a special guest coming on. One thing I did learn is when the Leafs are on a win streak, I think it's best I don't talk about it until it's over. But before we get into any of that, producer, roll the tape. Let's have a good one.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. With That Leafs Fan.
They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Rielly! Mo Rielly! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
The sickest Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. It's gonna be sick.
What's going on, guys? And more importantly, what's going on, Mass? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
As fresh as the weather outside, which is 13 degrees for some reason.
You know, a lot has happened since I've last been on this podcast, including I basically met the entire team. Are you aware of that? Buddy, you're in the dirt. You have no clue what's happened. So you remember their outdoor practice?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay, so I went. And I basically figured out their path they take to get to the arena. I just waited there.
That's so good.
I just fucking mauled them for pictures. I got Mitch on the way in. I got Lilligren. I got Nyes on the way out. They take their time more with the fans. So on their way out, there's like a huge like waiting spot that they just walk down this like alleyway, I guess, like lane. And I basically got everyone except for Rielly. Giordano, who wasn't there, Yarncroak, who I don't think was there, and Camp and McCabe. But like I got Nylander's signature on my jersey, I got Tavares' signature on my jersey, I got Marner's signature on my jersey, I got a picture with Matthews. Didn't get a picture with John kind of zoomed out for some reason. But yeah.
Probably had
if you're matter. If you're in the Toronto area and you're trying to meet your heroes, you definitely have to go to the outdoor practice next year. It's a not miss opportunity.
I'll just drive down.
Yeah, if you're there, I'll give you my secrets and we'll go together. I'll make sure you meet them.
100%. Yeah. Well, not only first of all that's very cool. I'm very jealous.
Yeah. I have a picture with God himself. How cool is that,
Matthews? That's really cool. That's really cool. Lot to talk about since the last. I mean, I feel like the last time we spoke was like
they weren't doing this good. I'll tell you that.
No, not even close. Okay, so I'm just gonna get straight into it. The Leafs 7-game win streak ends. First of all, I was very surprised. I was very surprised, honestly. The 7-game win streak is the longest in the Matthews era, which to me is like bonkers.
To me, it makes sense. I'll tell you why it made sense to me. The Leafs, they have been good. They have been a really, really strong regular season team. But I don't recall them being consistent enough to pull off like an 8-game win streak, a 9-game win streak, a 10-game win streak. If I had to guess at when they got cut off because of their inconsistencies, yeah, 7 would probably be the number. Like in the bubble season, I was like, hang on, Jack Campbell got 10 wins straight, but the Leafs did not win 10 straight. Jack Campbell did not play all 10. There was a different goalie in there. So it was like, oh, Jack played 6 and then someone came in, they lost, and then Jack won 4 straight. So like, it makes sense that was the longest win streak, and I hope that next year, the year after that, we continue in the Matthews era, they can actually get to 10. I feel like that's a small bar, but they should get there.
Hear me out. I really don't. Well, first of all, I feel like everyone and like their dog was prepared. Like the moment we beat the Avalanche, I'm like, you know what? I'm ready for it. We're due.
When you beat the Avalanche, at some point you're like, yeah, this has to end. I'm satisfied now.
And it's kind of like turn papers due. There's a due date on it. It needs to get done. Just, and obviously, like, the way we pumped Vegas on home ice, there was, like, less than no chance that we would have won yesterday's game. Like,
yeah, there was no way Vegas is going to let that happen again. There was just no shot.
I went out with my girlfriend we went to go eat at this, like, Japanese restaurant. It's really amazing, by the way. Shout out to Gyukaku. Amazing restaurant in Montreal. I love it. Very good prices, too. I literally went there. I think I checked the score 3 times throughout the night. And after the first, I saw 3-1. I'm like, okay, it's a game, but, like, meh. And then I checked again when it was 4-2. And I was like, oh, okay, we're going to lose the game, but it was a game. And then we lost 6-2. And I was like, ah, okay, that makes sense. Couple of things. I'll explain why I think this is good. So I was talking to my dad about this on Sunday. And I just looked over at him. I'm like, damn, like, you know, like, that's when this one, like, I figured out that, like, 7 was the record for the current era we're in. And I'm like, pa, like, how crazy would it be? Like, you know, like, the Oilers just nearly went on a crazy run and everything. Like, imagine the Leafs beat it. He's like, absolutely not. Like, I don't. And when he said absolutely not, like, I thought he meant, no, it's not going to happen, which I was in agreement with. But then he's like, no, I don't want it to happen. And I was, for a sec, I was about to ask him, I was going to be like, well, why? And then I was like, then he followed up by saying, he followed up by saying, I don't want them to, because then it'll make them kind of like, it'll put an unnecessary extra pressure or expectation on them. That I just don't think that, this is what he was saying, is like, that I just don't think they need. And I was like, that's a valid point. Like, I don't know how to explain it to you.
I know how to explain it to you. So basically, every time, it's not just about win streaks either with just a team. It's every time there's a streak that's like over like 10 games or something. Every time there's like attention brought towards a point streak, a goal streak, an assist streak. Now that player is suddenly thinking, oh, well, I mean, I doubt they're actually thinking about it, but eventually the pressure sets in of like, yeah, I got to get a point. Like, I'm pretty sure someone had, I think it was Nylander earlier this season, had a point streak, and they were like down to like 3 more minutes left in the game, and they were just feeding him constantly, just feeding him. And I'm like, okay, well, this is great. It's going to work. But like, at some point you have to, you know, play hockey. Like, I love Mitch Marner. He's fantastic. He's a great playmaker. But sometimes I wish he shot the puck. But I understand it when you have Austin Matthews in your center. Like, your job is to look for Matthews. But you have to understand that because he is so hot right now, players are starting to double team him. And that's why you have to shoot more. Triple team, exactly. The reason – you want to know why Bertuzzi got a hat trick against Colorado? It's because every time the Leafs had a power play, they're just like, okay – block the seam to Matthews. And so everyone was like, block the seam to Matthews. And then there's just a guy down low in front of your net wide open because you don't have just enough guys to cover everyone. Just
nephew Tyler there with like a missing tooth. He's like,
yeah, here, exactly.
Here.
like Mitch is like, oh, Austin. Oh, I'm trying to get it to Austin. Like, I'm just forcing this pass. And then he looks slightly over to his left. And he's like, oh, it's just wide open.
Yeah.
It's either Georgiev gets the poke check or it's a goal.
How stupid is it? Like this was coming. So there was like a whole, like, I think it was 19 games that Bertuzzi hadn't scored, but like the guy was getting chances and chances.
You knew this was coming. Like, if you believe in regression to the mean, which I do, you knew this was coming. And if this continues, he might lead the team in playoff goals, which I hope he does, because he was a beast.
He did it in Boston. Well, I don't know if
exactly.
I don't know if he led,
but he had 7 points in 10 games, which is really good.
Wasn't it seven? No, it wasn't 7 goals. I thought it was 7 goals.
Let me check. I'm pretty sure if it was goals, that's even better.
That's insane. But the point is that I think this streak, they needed this because, to be honest, it was cutting it way too close to the playoff race. These 7 games, not secured, but pretty much
10 points. 5 goals, 5 assists.
That's insane. This push kind of just separated us from the middle of the pack, not quite to the top, like the Bruins and the Panthers and the Rangers are still kind of in the league of their own. And then like right under is like the Leafs, the Hurricanes, the like, and then it's like, okay, eight teams fighting for three spots. Like, but we just got out of that.
Yeah, man, like, we were in the wild card before this.
Dude, I was like, but now, if I'm not mistaken, I think we are exactly, I want to say 9 or 10 points in, Pat, like ahead of the Devils. With maybe
yeah.
a game.
Yeah.
With a, so it's the Leafs need like a subpar 500 hockey to secure it. I don't want them to. To be honest, look, I don't give a shit where they finish. I don't care if you, they're not winning the division. They're probably not getting home ice advantage. Honestly, like, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't care whether they finish third. And I really don't even care if they fall into a wild card spot, because there's not going to be an easy matchup. You're either getting the Panthers, the Bruins, or the Rangers. That's where we're at. There's yep. no other. It's not happening.
I mean, I know which team I'd rather play, but I think that's the most unlikely scenario. Yeah, I want to play Boston too. To put a bowl on the whole streak thing, it's good. You know, they racked up 14 points in 7 games. That's fantastic. That's what you
without mean. Riley, 5 of them.
We're exactly without Riley. Didn't really make a difference because the Atlantic just the Atlantic and they just keep winning. You want your team to be rolling. That's good. But you don't want them to necessarily feel invincible. This loss to the Vegas Golden Knights, I think, is going to be a blessing in disguise because it's a reminder to the GM, to the coach, to the team that, hey, we're not done here. Like, just because we won 7 straight doesn't mean like our team is set for the playoffs. Like, I swear to God, yeah. if Brad does nothing at the deadline, we're getting swept. We're just getting swept. Like, that's just the way
it is. I was talking about this with a couple of buddies, and I think Steve Dangle had mentioned it too. And like, I was like, this is so true. The span of Riley not being there really showed what we need. Like, dude, Simon Benoit, Jake McCabe, third defensive pairing. I love that. I love it.
Yep.
Brody actually playing on his side is like, oh, there you are. I haven't seen you be you.
Like you look like PJ Brody again.
Dude, I was like, he went from being like unusable to like, oh, okay.
But he's you know, it's so puzzling because nothing changed. Like, Riley Brody has been so dominant up until this season. And nothing's changed. Like, Riley Brody, Morgan played the left, Brody played the right.
Here's what happened. This is why Leaf fans get so frustrated. And I think I spoke about this on the last episode. So the problem with the Leafs, similar to what you said, is that at some point, the star power on the team, on paper, can make the team itself feel, in a sense, invincible or always in it, because like, you, let's say the Leafs are like, it's the moment the Leafs scored 4-2 yesterday, I was like, wait a second. Like, I've seen crazier things.
You can never really
count them. I was like, I've seen crazier things. Like, this season I've seen crazier things. So like, why not? But that mindset is horrible, because it's like, you lost this game the moment like the game started, because like, you were always, and it's fine, like, they're not going to win them all. Like, I'm really not mad about the loss yesterday. Like I said, I like, and I agree with you, I think it is a blessing in disguise. You know, reminds you like, okay, we won 7 straight, we are not undefeatable, we are not the best team in the NHL by any means, and we can definitely use reinforcements. However, like, we've seen a step. So back to what I was saying about the difference. When Riley was out of the lineup, I think a lot of people are also undermining the missing piece of Cali Yarncroke, if you want to call it. Everyone was forced to elevate their game in the sense where it's like, we can no longer toss absolute egos in the middle of the ice and shoot ourselves in the foot 3 times and then just hope that Matthew saves the game, or Nylander saves the game, or Marner saves the game, which I get it. There's going to be people, well, that's what they're paid to do. Yes. However, this is still a hockey game. This is still a hockey team, not an individual milestone chase. Like, I don't care. I do want Matthews to hit 70. That would be insane. But that's not the goal here, like, at all. It really.
And he'll tell you that himself. He'll tell you that himself. His first game, he scored 4 goals. He said, "I trade them all to get the win." Doesn't care.
But, like, that's, and I hope what he's saying. I do believe that. I do believe that.
I do too.
And so what this team was forced to do with Riley being out, and, like, I'll make this go full circle, is that guys like Benoit, guys like McMahon, Domi, Bertuzzi, Holmberg, like these, and even the guys, like, especially towards, like, the bottom of the lineup, you can't fuck up anymore. Because now, if you screw up, like, look at Ridley Gregg. Fuck that guy. Noah Gregor. Mm-hmm. He made a few costly mistakes. Hasn't seen the ice in, like, 3 to 4 games. And that's where we're at, though, because you see how much tighter the team plays. And this is, again, why I find that the Leafs are frustrating, because it's been, and every team goes through it, but it's just like, if this team played the way they played without Riley, but with Riley in the lineup, like,
and it's not just Riley. It's not just Riley. It's any member of our star power core 5. Yeah. Like, for me, it's a positive development that I've seen in this team, because year in, year out, ever since, like, 2017, 18, 19, we've idolized the Boston Bruins and the Colorado Avalanche and the Tampa Bay Lightning for their ability to just be like, okay, someone's out, next man up, nothing changes, we go. The Leafs haven't had that, but they have it this season, and it's a really, really, really strong aspect of a team game that I love, and I want our team to have that. Doesn't matter who's out, keep going, because the schedule doesn't stop. Doesn't matter who's injured, schedule doesn't stop. You got to keep going, especially in the playoffs if someone gets injured. I have some confidence that it won't faze him that much.
And the thing is, like, look, Bobby McMahon probably went on one of the hottest streaks of his season, maybe in his career.
His shooting percentage was insane.
Yeah, it was stupid. Like, that's not
going to. He was shooting 45%.
Like, that won't keep up. Like, Tyler Bertuzzi's current goal pace, like, it's not going to keep up. Like you said, everything kind of a regression to the mean, it'll balance itself out. So now we're seeing guys like who were really cold who are going to go up, and guys who are now really hot, like,
Austin was really hot, hasn't scored in 2 games.
Yeah, like, you see, like, that, you know how good you have to be for people to consider shit. Like, you haven't scored in 2 games. Like, that's,
dude,
anyways.
I get nervous when he hasn't scored in 2 games. I'm like, Austin, you have 70 to hit. What are you doing? What are you doing?
And you see, but, like, again, like, I'm not worried about guys like that. Like, so what I was saying, again, to bring it full circle, is that the Leafs have to elevate their game, because, look, we're not going to sit here and kid ourselves that, like, yeah, we're a very, we have a crazy depth team. Like, no, we do not. We are not the Vegas Golden Knights. We are not the Boston Bruins, where, like, it's just kind of like a 4-line play. However, I think we have a little more depth than we had perceived, because other guys have stepped up. Tavares being on the 3rd line is probably the greatest thing to happen to this team.
Yeah.
And it's no disrespect to him, because he now, he just doesn't have the speed, but he's a great, great, great player. We need that speed.
We need him to be healthy, and right now he's not, and I'll be very disappointed if he plays against Arizona. I don't think there's a reason you should be playing in February when you're injured. Sit out, rest, okay? Get healthy for the playoffs, please, Captain.
And so what I find this streak, I'd say, like, it gave us, like, info. The info that I got from that is that, like, I think people might have looked at it the wrong way. Like, you're watching a game, you're like, holy shit, Liljegren, Brody as your first pairing? Holy shit, Jake McCabe and Simon Benoit as your pairing? It's like, no, what this showed me is that these pairings work together.
Yep.
So the real thing we're missing is a partner for Riley.
That's never been more clear to me of any season as what we need, and it's a partner for Riley. And it's exactly the same type of partner that he's needed all his career. It's the Shen type. It's the Lyubushkin type. It's the stay-at-home defenseman. Honestly, Benoit could work, but then you need to replace Benoit with someone.
No, I do not want Benoit and McCabe.
Yeah, you don't change anything that's been working. Lilligren, Brody, Benoit, McCabe, Riley, who? That's what you figure out. Giordano comes in sometimes in the playoffs. Who knows? But
Giordano should be a seventh defenseman.
Yeah, he's a seventh. You rotate him in whenever a defense can't go.
He can't be the partner full-time. It can't be. You need him. Yeah. Like, look, we're going to get injuries. It's going to happen. He'll eventually make his way in, and it's no disrespect to him. He is literally the, like, oldest player in the NHL, if I'm not mistaken, right now.
Yeah, he's the oldest player, for sure.
In the tracked NHL history, like, when they started actually keeping track of statistics, he's great. But he can't be, like, the
He can't be in there. Yeah.
No.
He's your plug-in for when you realize your team's not blocking enough shots and you're not happy in the playoffs. It's basically what it is.
He's the plug-in when he's, like, a specialist kind of thing. You plug him in when you need to. Like, okay, we got a couple penalties in a row. Plug him in there. Okay, we need a bit more, like, shutdown, like, vet decisions, like, not stupidity passes. Okay, get him in there.
Plug him in there.
Start of the night, no chance. Yeah. Get a guy to put next to Riley. That's what we need. Because, again, the top six, I think, right now has been flowing. Like, the first line, like, look, Matthews, Marner, Knies. People forget that Matthew Knies is a rookie. But it's fine. Like, it's good. We need that. We need to have him there because it's... Dude, when was the last time we had a rookie on our team played the whole season and was actually like, no, like, I mean, rookie, like the moment he was in the system, he was playing. Zach Hyman was on the Marlies.
Playing or like playing in the top six?
No, like drafted in the system, skips the AHL, goes straight to the NHL. Dude, that hasn't happened since like Matthews.
No, yeah, that happened all in the same year. Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Hyman. Zaitsev, Soshnikov, like they were all rookies.
No, but Nylander was in
the AHL. Yeah, you're right.
Marner, I don't think Marner. Maybe a couple of games.
I don't think he ever. I got to check that now because now you've intrigued.
Like Matthew Knies literally did not play a game for the Marlies, if I'm not mistaken. Like I don't think he played single game. So the point I'm trying to make is that guys like him, for example, I'm not worried about him. Like
No, he never played for the Marlies. Like,
shit, he had a good game in the first line. Oh, he had a bad game. Oh, he's been a bit... Like, the fact that there's already expectations on a rookie that has literally went from college to, like, first line, I'm not worried about you.
Like, everyone treats this guy like he was our first overall, like, he was our first round pick or something. He wasn't
a second round.
It was a late second round steal by Wes Clark.
All day. Like, not worried about that.
There's no real expectations. Like, just... Find your game, be the go in the corner guy, feed Matthews, feed Marner, you're fine.
His style of play will be useful in the playoffs. Because the game
he does scare me sometimes though. He does do some high percentage risky plays at the blue line. He's like, a guy's coming on me, I'm gonna try and deke him.
In the season, that's fine. I really don't care.
Yeah, but if he does it during the playoffs, you cry.
He came in to the playoffs last year and like keep in mind, like he played 4 regular season games after having a season in college.
Yep.
Walks into the league. I'm not worried about him. I'm really not worried about him. Like, that is the least of my worries.
He looked fantastic. He looked fantastic last year in the playoffs.
And he's had his moments this year. He's had his bad games this year, like anyone else. We need guys under contract like him. Like, at that price, there's not a better player that the Leafs are going to get for that, for like, we don't have any more ELCs on the team. Like, you know what I mean? So we take that every day. I'm not worried about him. That's not the problem. I do not want to see, I know he scored yesterday. I think he's been good for what he is. I do not want to see anyone else taken off the lineup besides Reeves when Yarncrow comes back. Like, it's not even close. I don't want to hear it.
There's a clear divide. Honestly, I would consider Robertson just because he doesn't require waivers, and I think that's the easy pick. But like, he also hasn't been, you know, a standout player as of late. And I think if you were going by I haven't seen it. Like he's playing with Tavares. You have to have like you got to be open. And the thing with Robertson that always pisses me off is he can never get his shot off. He's been doing that. At least he's been getting a shot off. But to me, he hasn't been like a good forechecker like McMahon has been. Like, he hasn't been strong in his defensive zone. He's just kind of been like there, you know?
Robertson or Reeves?
Don't make me do that.
That's my point. No, but that's my point.
But like, as of recent, would I be insane to say Robertson? Like, the fourth line has been probably one of the best iterations of our fourth line we've ever seen this season.
Yeah.
I don't expect to keep up because Reeves can't sustain that level of play.
In the playoffs, like, we're not talking playing against the Coyotes anymore. We're talking about playing Bruins, Rangers, and Panthers. I don't want
Reeves. But if you're playing Panthers, don't you want Reeves?
Nope.
The fuck did we get him for then?
I don't know. And it's no disrespect to him. Like, look, we could use him. He can be the extra forward that, like I said with Giordano, okay, the game's getting rough. Bennett's being a bit of an idiot. Cousins is being stupid. Okay, Reeves, go. I don't need him on the ice every fourth line shift, bro. There's no point.
That's the thing. With the playoffs, your lines are going to change game in, game out. There's going to be rotations. But the way I see it right now, like, if the playoffs started tomorrow, I wouldn't change the fourth line. I think a good fourth line is really key in the playoffs. So if I'm slotting in Yarncroke to this line, I'm probably taking out Robertson.
Hear me out. What if you leave the lines the same, take out Reeves and put Yarncroke on the fourth line just to ease him back in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably what they end up doing. The Leafs lineup to me is really like polarizing. Because in the offensive zone, these lines work. They work really well. But a big thing I saw in the Vegas game and a lot of games before that is in the defensive zone, oh boy, they're a freaking fire drill. Like, Bertuzzi, Domi, Nylander, really, really fun. But my God, they get hemmed in a lot. Same with McMahon, Tavares, Robertson.
That's why I think that.
But maybe that's just Tavares not being at 100%, right?
That, and I think eventually, like, Yarncroke becomes like the safety net there.
Yeah, Yarncroke becomes the babysitter, but then what happens to the lines, right? So let's not do that.
He now makes it a dynamic line.
Yeah,
like, so Robertson is offense, and that's it.
You're taking
I Yarncroke see your point about taking line? Robertson out of the lineup. Like I see it. Like, it's not a stretch. Like, it's
not a shot on the player. Like, I think he's played well to earn his stay. I don't know if I trust him yet in a playoff type environment.
Yeah, he has a lot to prove. That's for sure.
And I hate the whole like old guy like mentality, but it is true. Like, you do need some size in the playoffs, and I'd rather have McMahon than Robertson.
Yeah, I know. You're not taking McMahon out of the lineup. No chance. I'm not engaging in any of those conversations.
A guy with that size, a guy with that physicality, a guy with that offensive instinct. No. He's looking like young Zach Hyman. No.
He's just good. Like, he's not great, but he's just good. And exactly. Don't need anything else from you. You're good. Stay there. I don't need you to score. I don't even need you to score a goal every three games. Like, not necessary. Although it would be very awesome because Bobby McMatthews is awesome.
Yeah.
It's just we don't need it. Well, not that we don't need it. Like, it's not my priority. Like, if Bobby McMahon doesn't score, I'm not like, oh, shit, like, blow it
up.
That's not, you know what I'm saying?
So you tell me, which lineup do you like better in a playoff series? You like Nyes, Matthews, Marner, Bertuzzi, Domi, Nylander, McMahon, Tavares, Yarncroke, Holmberg, Camp, Reeves? Or do you like Nyes, Matthews, Marner, Bertuzzi, Domi, Nylander, McMahon, Tavares, Robertson, Holmberg, Camp, Yarncroke? If the playoffs started tomorrow, because we don't know how Reeves is going to play by game 82.
Look, I think against Boston, Reeves is completely useless. Completely.
Yeah, like, I tend to agree. But again, if he's playing like this, you can't change the fourth line.
No, true.
Because good depth will dismantle the Bruins.
The Panthers.
I I can't believe you've made me defend Ryan Reeves. That's what you've done today.
No, but it's just, you know what it is? It's, I don't want any of those, like, I don't want any of those, like, bullshit quotes of, like, let the like, I don't care.
Look, oh, Reeves has to stop talking. Like, I don't, like, care for anything he says.
No, like, and I'm not even saying that. It's just, like, I don't even want to hear the, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, like, ICE the best team. I don't care who it is. I don't care the contracts. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. I really don't. If he'll actually get in the game and be, like, really, like, the way he's been playing since, I want to say, the Vegas game of last week.
Yeah.
But the way he played against Vegas and Colorado, I think he didn't play that bad.
Yep.
If you can play like
that. The fourth line's been effective.
If it can be effective, yeah, I'm all for it. Don't change it. If Reeves is going to solely be put out there to punch someone in the face, I don't need you there. There's Jake McCabe that can do that, and he can actually play. There's Simon Benoit who can do that, and he's good for what he is. There's, you know what I mean? Like, there's,
I got no time for the people on Twitter who's like, oh yeah, but Reeves, you know, his presence, it scares the off. No, it doesn't.
Bullshit.
Like, it
just, bro, he got leveled by a guy of like 5'9". Like, it's not the, it's, yeah, not,
you think that's
going to
stop Nick
anymore.
Cousins, Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk from doing whatever the hell they want? No, it's not.
Can he cave their faces in? Maybe. Yeah. But the chances are, if that's what you're worried about, you're fucked.
Yeah, like, you're not going to stop the Panthers.
No, it's not happening.
The second the opposition is making you think about anything other than scoring goals, you're screwed. Because that's how you win the game.
Yeah,
sorry,
you need a map. You need a map. You're lost. Like, it's like, that's not the idea. Like, the team has gotten a lot more resilient in terms of defending themselves. I thought that's been great.
Yeah, more scrums, more willingness to get in there.
We have like 5 buntings on the team now.
Yeah.
And they range from skilled to like stay-at-home defensemen and everything in between. But we have like 5 of them. We have Domi, we have Bertuzzi, we have Benoit, we have McCabe, and just like a mixture of other guys all around at random points. Like, we
other
have
guys
that
who are now more willing to get into it. Like, Nylander was pissed the other night in Arizona. Loved that.
So, like, and I'm not even putting Nylander in that conversation. Like, I'm just simply saying, like, we have more. We don't just have like one guy now. Like, you can't target anyone anymore. It's not like we need to go after Bunting and then we control the game. We need to go. No, it's because, like, want to go after Bertuzzi? Okay, well, then you're going to have to deal with Domi on the ice. Like, are you going to beat the shit out of him? Maybe, but the guy's definitely going to put up a fight. Okay, you nailed one of our forwards. Okay, yeah, Jake McCabe will take care of that. That's no problem. Oh, someone hit Jake McCabe. Don't worry. Simon Benoit is going to, like, put you into, like, the second bowl of the arena. Like, it's not just one guy. It's kind of like the Panthers. It's like, for them, it was next man up. It's like, oh, Nick Cousins was being a piece of shit. Oh, it's fine. Sam Bennett. Oh, someone went to go hit Sam Bennett. Ah, it's Matthew Tkachuk. Like, they had levels to it. And in the playoffs, you can't call everything. So that's why I think, and I said it at the beginning of the year before the season even started, the Leafs are going to have a worse record than they did last year, but they're actually going to be a better team going into the playoffs, because for once, I think they're at least working towards a team that works better in the playoffs than they do in the season. Because this year, for once, we have not seen, like, the best version of the Leafs in the season, because I just don't think they're built that way. They're not just built like
the best team isn't built yet.
It's not vanilla anymore. It's not it's not like statistically beautiful anymore. It's more of like, okay, I don't exactly know what to like, how to explain it, but the McCabe Benoit line is like awesome. I don't really know how to explain it, but the Bertuzzi, there's just like that ugh to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's things that are beyond stats and beyond paper, which is the way. And again, the Leafs, I'm not putting them as top cup contenders or anything like that. I think they're in the middle of the pack mix for playoff teams. I don't think they're the favorite, and I don't think they're the worst. I think they're somewhere like anywhere between, like,
you know, you want to know a fun thing? You want to know a fun thing? Usually when you look at, like, you try and predict who's going to win the Stanley Cup, you don't usually go best team in the league because you know some stupid shit's going to happen. You don't usually go worst team in the league because you know, okay, well, let's be real, that's not going to happen again. I'm not saying it, but the Leafs are looking like they're primed to win a cup right now. they just got out of the deadline. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. The year I meet the team is the year they win the cup.
I think they put themselves in a position I think they put themselves in a position enough to where the GM is like, okay, they've earned the bolstering of the lineup. I swear to God,
if it doesn't, I'll lose my mind.
I'm just, look, at the end of the day, everyone knows what needs to be done. There's one guy who's in charge of that. I'm not even going to sit here and stress about it because, look, if you don't get it done, you're not going to be here any very long. Like, that's just the way it is. And so I'm not worried about that. I think at the end of the day, love him or hate him, Tree Living does make moves. Are they always good? No, they're either really good or really bad. But he does make moves. So for that, I'm not worried. I just hope he makes the right decision and doesn't completely overpay. Although trading at the deadline, you're already overpaying. It's just how it is. Asset management. Yep. It's people. It's kind of like, you need that. I don't.
Supply and demand.
Whatever I want and like an extra like cup of coffee and like we'll talk kind of thing. And because there's another guy offering me 2 cups of coffee. Do you want to give me 3? Like, so it's kind of that negotiate. It's whatever anyone's willing to pay. So... Mm-hmm. In for that regard, I'm not worried. But back to the thing about Toronto. Look, do we have the best goaltending in the league at all? We have league average goaltending.
Good enough.
The goalie, exactly. They give us a chance. And to anyone who was ripping Samsonov yesterday, kick fucking rocks. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, are you blind? The team abandoned him.
Not only that, it's like we're talking about, and I'm guilty of it too, we're talking about a guy that was literally unplayable. Who just went 9-1-1. People pulling out the save percentage, this, that, yeah. I don't want to hear it. The guy literally pointed the middle finger and he's like, fuck you guys. And good for him.
In the Toronto market, too. You know how hard that is to do?
Oh, dude, it's insane. And the guy's like sensitive, you can tell. He's emotional. He's like Marner in the regard of like, he'll take the hits and it'll actually affect him and like everyone knows it. And the way the Leafs handled it, especially after seeing how Jack Campbell was handled in Edmonton, like to the credit of Toronto, they did a great job. They took something unusable and turned it into 9-0-1. Like nothing. Kudos to Toronto for taking
9-0-1, which is probably league average right about now because league scoring's gone way up.
And not only 9-0-1 record, like nine.
Oh wins. Sorry. Yeah.
And no, it's like. And again, am I saying Samsonov, Vezina? Like, no, not even close. What I'm saying is he's giving us a chance. And for the way this team is built, that's all we can ask for.
Yeah, let's not forget who was the goalie when we won a freaking round last year. Like, come on.
So Samsonov is playable. Martin Jones is playable. Joseph Woll is playable. Which of those three is going to start? I don't care. Ride the hot hand. Don't care. Keep all three. And don't even show me the stats. I don't care. I don't care about save percentage. I don't care. Who do you put in nets and who gives us a chance? Yeah, that guy. Go for it. And they're all good. Exactly. I don't mind any of them. Because even Martin Jones has proven like he can be playing. Like, why not?
He fell off a bit, but yeah, I don't think that's what he's going to be. Like, he can be a steady veteran presence who gives you a shot to win.
Exactly. And that's all, again, for the way this team is built, that's all you can ask for. We don't have a Shesterkin. We don't have a Demko. We don't have an Ottinger. It's not happening. Okay, it's not. But as you can see in the playoffs, it doesn't fucking matter. Aiden Hill showed up to be the greatest goaltender of all time in the playoffs. And then the Leafs scored 4 on him to pull, or 3 actually, because he was pulled. Like, you know what I mean? And then he played a great game.
It's not about who's the best. It's about who's playing the best right now.
And who does the team play good in front of? Who does the team play solid? And that's what counts. And so for that, I'm not worried. I genuinely think none of it makes sense, and that's why it makes sense for the team. But if you look at it, look at the Panthers last year. None of it made sense, and that's why it made sense.
Yep.
Look at the Bruins last year. Everything made sense, and that's why it didn't make sense. It's hockey. Like it's not like Champions League soccer, for example, or the NFL. Like, if you told me at the beginning of the playoffs, final 2 is going to be Chiefs and 49ers. Okay, sure. Final 4 is going to be Chiefs, 49ers, Ravens and Lions, I'll be like, oh, the Lions got there. Well, yeah, but the others, yeah, I buy that all day. The NHL just doesn't work that way.
You can't predict hockey. You just can't. No,
because in the playoffs, it's no longer statistical. It is in part because everything is statistical. However, there's now is where it's kind of like it's a mental game.
And that's where the intangibles kick in.
Exactly. And that's why I think guys like the ones that we're having, it's at least for the, I'm talking Leafs standard right now. I'm not, again, I don't want anyone misconstruing what I'm saying and saying that I'm calling the Leafs Cup contenders and favorites. No, we're absolutely not favorites, but we do have a shot. It's not crazy to say that we're in the middle of the pack here. Like we're, I'd say, yeah, middle of the pack. Like we're par for, you know, everyone has a shot. And like, I mean, why not us kind of thing? If you took away the logo and you put this exact roster on any other team,
everyone's going to be like, by now.
It's a stretch, but maybe, you never know.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing the Panthers last year. You know what I mean? So it's at the end of the day, like I think that for the Leafs, the Leafs as of right now, it doesn't look beautiful like on paper and everything. And fucking all power to that, because every time it's looked beautiful on paper, it's been lit to a flame in 7 games for the last 7 years. I don't care about the paper anymore. Just show me guys that have like a beating heart, and that when they're on the ice, they don't care if they're better or worse than the guy in front of them. They don't see the name. They're just like, how do I win? Mm-hmm. How do I win? Next man up, go. That's how it should be.
Exactly.
Anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk deadline. Now, I am not in favor of trading Nick Robertson because I think he's actually be a really fun player. However, if there was ever one player I think I would happily say goodbye to Nick Robertson for,
Rasmus Andersson.
I think it'd be okay. Well, yeah, obviously Rasmus Andersson, but if I'm saying like forward for forward, Frank Petrano, what do we think?
That won't happen.
It won't happen, but what do you think of like Nick Robertson and the first for Petrano? Like, that's some really solid depth scoring. Suddenly your lineup looks like McMahon, Tavares, Vetrano.
Dude, I want a partner for Riley.
I want a partner for Riley, too. I know. I'm just going with the forward first. But, like, do you hate it? Do you hate Vetrano? If it costs the assets to take a to get the defenseman, I hate it. But if it doesn't...
I just think it'll cost too much. In the sense, if that's what we needed, I get it.
But it's not.
I want a pairing like,
it'd
for
be a luxury.
Riley. Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
So let's talk pairings for Riley. So the Athletic put out an article. It's from Jonas Siegel, February 27th. Maple Leafs defense trade targets 2.0. Who should Toronto be chasing? First one on the list. Most logical fits.
Chris Tanev.
Will Borgen from Seattle. What do you think of Will Borgen's game?
I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you.
I know. You have no clue who he is. But he's like...
No, I do. I've heard... I know he's like a...
He's
like an upgraded Simon Benoit.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he makes $2.7 million in the against the cap. He's 27 years old, and like he's been Jamie Oleksiak's partner. So like he could fit that role of the Shen Labushkin type mold. I just think it's a little bit more risky, and I think because it's more risky, it's cheaper.
Adam Larson.
I wouldn't hate it. Adam Larson's also expensive, but he is on the list. Yeah, he's on the list. Hanifin's on the list. I'm not sure if I want Hanifin. I'm not sure if he's the guy. If he comes with a contract extension, then sure, maybe.
Go and find another Jake McCabe deal.
Yeah.
That's it. So, get a guy who's not a rental, so you don't throw assets in the fire. Get a guy that, if all goes to shit, still has more than nothing value because he still has a contract. Mm-hmm. And that's why they just have to like going like
that's why I love the Tanev fit, but I'm not a fan of the trade. Like that to me, that's not the Jake McCabe trade. He's 34 and he doesn't have term.
If he gets hurt, like, we literally gave you everything for free. Like, we got nothing.
Yeah.
Kind of won't re-sign with the Flames for all I know. He probably won't, but you get what I'm saying. So it's I want to get a guy that like the McCabe deal. And I'm sure a lot of us last year were like, what Jake McCabe and he had his moment. Dude, this year, Jake McCabe, like, what?
No, bro, I always
one of our best and most important defensemen. It's not even close. It's not even close.
Yeah, I knew this was the type of defenseman he was. I was always excited for that. Because to me, when I saw that, I was like, oh, we just got Jake Muzzin back. Cool. Because that's basically what he's been. Guy,
it ain't pretty, and it works.
Yeah. Okay, so Adam Larson, as you mentioned, he's making $4 million, and he has another year after this. So what do you think?
50% retained. You give...
You give your first...
In a trade like that, that's probably where Robertson leaves, though, if we do that.
Not necessarily, though, because, like, you could throw in, like, Alex Steeves or Topi Niemela or something like that. Like, you're already throwing in your first, right?
Steeves.
Like, who knows? Who knows? That's the thing. You don't know what Seattle values. That's the thing. Adam Larson, they could look at Robertson and be like, yeah, no, we don't want him. Too small.
Maybe. I mean... Yeah, that's true. Especially they are in the West, which is I don't even know about that anymore. I feel like the whole league has just like grown in that matter, like overall. But
that's the more like the flashier name, the more expensive name, like the attractive name. How about like a cheaper name, one that we've seen that actually works?
Labushkin.
How about Ilya Labushkin? How about that? Like we know it works. We know he's cheap. We know he's not going to cost a first. I mean, he shouldn't cost a first. He is making 2.75, but he does not have term. That's the thing. So that's the temporary just for this year, which you don't like, but we know it works. So I don't know if you're going to make an exception on that. Because then next year, you're just in the same place of like, okay, got to get Riley Barton.
That's what I mean. It's like where you... Like, get someone who will actually, like, Toronto's not good enough to just make rentals. They're not the Stars. They're not the Rangers. They're not, like, the, you know what I mean? Like, they're just under that. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're competing. They're very competitive. They have a shot. They're not among the best. You can't afford to just make rentals. You need to make a trade where, like, it's a rental, but you also still have him next year. So, like, you can't just throw assets. Like, you can't just...
You need a guy with at least one more year.
Right? And, like, you can't just go all in. Like, you need another... Find another Jake McCabe. Do I know who that is? No. I'm not the GM. Not my job. I don't make $5 million to do that. I get paid $25 an hour, and I love it. I get to rip cards and all of that. I love it. I'm not the GM. Not what I'm paid for. That's for you to find out. Go and find him. How? Not my job. It's not my job. Like, that's...
Here's another one. To stop
treating the look, at the end of the day, everyone who talks shit about Brad Treliving and Kyle Dubas and this and that and the other thing, I would do this, I would do that. We all think we're playing GM Connected on NHL 14. That's not how this works. I don't know the right move. You don't know the right move. We have ideas, but all of the shenanigans of the cap and the this and that, that's not what we're paid for. I want the GM to go and find the Jake McCabe. You figure it out. That's your job. I don't care how you do it. I am willing to trust that you are doing a better job than I am. Did I like the Jake McCabe trade last year? No. Am I very happy with it now? Yeah. What does that prove? I shouldn't be
like
a GM.
Hang on. You didn't like the trade?
I wasn't like, oh my God. Dude, now I'm like, holy shit, that was a great trade. Back then, I was like, oh, okay, Jake McCabe. I mean, eh.
Not familiar with this game.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. So it's like, go find that guy. I don't care who it is. Get a guy who's going to be in there. I don't care about, you were saying before, like the attractive name. Fuck that. I don't care about the attractive name. Go and get, like, you know what? Screw the 2022 Hyundai Elantra. Just release this, that, the other. Go and get the Toyota Corolla 2014. It works. It's nice. It's not bad. It gets you to point A to point B. It's not the shittiest box or the shittiest car on the road. Go get it. Sure.
Okay. Definition, the Toyota Corolla 2014, that's looking like Will Borgen.
Sure.
Not attractive. Yeah. He's got.
I'm not familiar with his game. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't watch.
You weren't with Jake McCabe either.
So you know what? If that's the move, go for it. That's what I want. I just want that. That's really find me more McCabe's. I want more pairings to be like the McCabe and the McCabe. Because now we have like the more offensively coordinated line, which is like Liljegren, Brody. I think they're like people underrate their offensive capability.
No, they're great at moving the puck. They're great at moving and, the puck. Yeah, Brody can't shoot, but that's
facilitate
fine.
Exits is more like. Yeah. Like Simon Benoit, like, yeah, he's a doorknob with the puck. He's not supposed to be good with it. I don't expect him to be good with it. He's not even that bad.
Yesterday, he had like four offensive chances out of nowhere.
But like, I know, I see, like, to me, it's like, that's not what I know you for. I know you for being the hard, heavy nosed, like, you're like the true, like, you're like the honest worker on the team. That's what I look at you as. And I love it. I love Simon Benoit. I love that.
The thing with Jake McCabe, who I love so much, and the reason I love him so much, I think by far, easily, he's the most well-rounded defenseman we have. He's fantastic defensively. McCabe, he's the most well-rounded defensive we have. He's fantastic defensively. He will join the rush, and he will shoot offensively. I think he's got like 3 or 4 goals right now. And he will lay the body, and he is not afraid to do that, and he doesn't give up much position or gap to do that.
He's hard nosed.
You don't put yourself in a bad position to make a hit. You're in my good books. Benoit's done great at that. McCabe's done great at that. Fantastic.
Dude, McCabe's been good enough that there should be people buying his jersey.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like that, oh, you're saying he's like top of the line. No, like what I'm saying is like guys like this are so underrated on a team like Toronto. I don't need another goal scorer. We have the best one in the league. We don't need another playmaker. We have one of the top playmakers in the league.
Guys like this are how Tampa won back-to-back cups. This is Ryan McDonagh.
That's a little bit of a stretch, but yes. I get where
Ryan McDonagh in his peak. Ryan McDonagh had a little bit more offense, but like when he played with Tampa, he was
I think
more
McDonagh
defensive.
Was just like better. I think McDonagh was just like
better. But same type
of guy. I get what you're saying though. I get but it's those It's the guys that are not your top, but play the top of the matchup they're against. And so, again, that's what I'm saying. Go and find the guy. Because, look, Riley is not the best in his own zone. He's not. Neither was Erik Karlsson. Go and find the Mark Methot, who is good and underappreciated because he's not flashy. He's simply the honest worker on that line and is so much more valuable to that line than people think. Because you take Mark Methot away from Erik Karlsson, and Erik Karlsson now looks like a pylon in his own zone. That shit looks great offensively. Great. Looks like a pylon in his own zone. He's a defenseman. He needs to be good in his own zone. Find him. Find the combination. Again, not my job. Go figure it out. That's not
me. Man, see, you know what sucks is we had that guy, and then Brad didn't want to re-sign him. And maybe he got overpaid, but like, would you be like complaining about Luke Shen on this team for 2.75 until 2026? I wouldn't. We wasted money on Klingberg.
How much?
2.75 for the next 2 years.
3.75?
No, it's 2.75. The 3 is the term.
I want more than that.
You want more?
I get it.
Shen?
I think he's good. We've seen it. And he was useful. I want, like, we need something more than that. Like, to be, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I know we're not cup contenders. Like, we're not at the top of the list. We need to make, like, actual move. And look, Luke Shen left after last season. That's what I'm saying. Find the guy who's we're actually going to have. Like, I don't want a rental. We're not to that point yet. We haven't earned the right to think that we can just go and get rentals. It's not the level we're at. No, we're in the middle of the pack.
It wasn't a rental. Brad just didn't re-sign him. So he just went where the money was.
He was a rental. Therefore, he was.
Well, yeah. Okay, last year he was a rental. Yeah, but he didn't have to be. He could have re-signed
him. Have to be, but he... I don't even want the guy with the option to. You see what I mean? Where it's like, Jake McCabe was never a rental because he was always going to play this season.
Yeah.
Go find that guy. Not a guy that you're going to get. You're going to lose assets to, which I don't think are... Look... This year for the Leafs, I don't expect them to I don't think they're a true. I would love to see it. I'm all, you know me. The moment the playoffs start, I'm going full unrealistic. Anyone has a chance. Anyone does that. That's true. Anyone does have a chance. You don't know how teams match up against each other. Everyone
just
has a chance.
Get in and that's it. So you got to worry about.
Fuck around and find out, pretty much. So, yeah, we have a chance. So do, like, the team in eighth place in the Western Conference, the same way the Kraken beat the Avalanche last year in the first round. Like, yeah, anything can happen. But it's, like, being smart about it. Don't screw up next year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're being, like, overzealous this year. Like, play it smart. It's the little moves, like the McCabes, where it's, like, that little extra value of that extra year goes such a long way and makes you not only have a player you can use who's very useful, it allows you to save assets. Can you imagine we had to go and get a Jake McCabe because we didn't have one? There goes assets. The more assets you give up now, the worse you get in the future. I mean, that's just how it works. And the better you get now, are we good enough to go full push right now? Yes, I think we have to push because, yes, we have one of the greatest goal scorers on one of the greatest runs we've seen. Don't waste that. But sorry. I'm also saying you can't just throw out the future and go all in. You're just not there yet. You need
to
give them a little bit of like an assistance, but they have to do that if they want to do that.
Do you recall? Oh my god! Do you recall when we gave up for Jake McCabe?
Was it a first that we flipped for Engvall?
It was a 2025 conditional first, a 2026 second, Joey Anderson and Pavel Gorgolev. Like,
okay, just those last two don't care. Trade. What's the condition?
It was a conditional 2025 first round pick. I'm not sure what the condition is. Hang on, I'll find that out.
Or even an hour. That's insane. Time flies.
That's such a good trade.
It was great.
Yeah, and because we got McCabe at 50% retention. So he makes four. Now he makes two for us.
Adam Larson makes four. Then he makes two, stays the next year.
You don't want Will Borgen. You want Adam Larson.
No, but even like I'm saying, like I care more about the term than I do about the name. You know what I mean? Like, I want a guy that, like, okay, he's actually on our team now. That's really what I care about because I, again, don't think we are in a position to just go for it all this year and then lose it next year and then we're screwed out of next year too. I think you could give it a shot, but, like, also, you know, kill two birds with
one stone. When you said you want more than Will Borgen, you were talking about his 1 year left. You want more years.
Yes. I want two years, not four.
I thought you were talking about you want a better player than Borgen.
No. Like I just don't. I don't want just a rental. And if it's if we're gonna need to pay more, yes, I get it. It's worth more. He has a contract, but you're paying more. But if you think about it, you're paying half because if you're gonna pay a bit less this year and a bit less next year, but then you add those two together, you end up paying more anyway.
Yeah.
So people.
The condition on the first was it's top 10 protected. And it would slide to 2026 if it is top 10. So, like, it's a god trade. Do that again, please.
It's fine. Don't mind. On that note, we're going to wrap it up here. It's been an hour. we definitely have to get on another episode, clearly, because the only reason I'm ending this is because it's at an hour, not because we don't have more to talk about.
For sure, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe even next week, right before the deadline or right after. We'll see. All right. But appreciate you being here. Guys, if you don't already know, check this man out on TikTok, LeafsFanMD. He's awesome. I mean, you see, he's got the knowledge. Not everyone likes his takes because not everyone can handle them, but they are very solid.
There's my motto right there.
To anyone who's been
you don't like my takes, you can't handle
them. Yeah, you can't handle them. You can't do it. It's not for you. But yeah, to anyone who's been listening up to this point, make sure to drop a like, hit the subscribe if you haven't already. And coming days, we'll find out. We'll see everything come to fruition. Take care, guys.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with That Leafs Fan on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.